10th chapter, 1st verse, 1st Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. That's all I'm going to read. Now, today we referred to the church in the wilderness, the church that's not in the wilderness. I'm going to try to answer a question right here. I told my wife to answer it, but it come to me to answer tonight. This is, in a way, foreign to what we'll probably be talking about tonight, and yet it's not foreign in that the scriptures line upon line knit themselves together. But it may sound a little foreign to what we've been into this morning. I was asked the question, if a person is elect, will they miss the rapture? Can they be elect and miss the rapture? The answer is yes. They can be God's elect and still miss the rapture. I know that I would run into a dispute and a repercussion on that, but Paul says that Israel is the election for the Father's sake, and they are beloved, but they won't go in the rapture. They will go through the tribulation period. And there's a church world, some of them that parallel. So it is a truth fact that you could be elect and still miss the rapture. That's why that, you know, it is a close thing, Brother Cantrell, a real close thing. You've got to be one with the Word. See, election under grace, it depends on where you're found in the election. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. So it depends, it all depends. Like the 144,000, they are elect. The 144,000, they are God's elect. But they come out of the 12 tribes of Israel. They are not raptured. And as far as we know, they fit into the place of the eunuch that escorts the bride. So there is a difference, a lot of difference. All right, we'll go into some teachings tonight. As you can tell, I'm tired. I know that you can tell that. I can tell some of you are tired. But we're going to go into some teachings and do our very best to pick up somewhere here and see if we can help you just a little bit in these things. How many of you can see that? Can you see that real good up here? All right. Now, first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. Now, are you going to try to stay with me if I go into it? All right. Now, when I'm a little tired, you work with me a little better, okay? First heaven, second heaven, third heaven. All right, let's go back to the central point of our discussion. This is the main object of our discussion, isn't that right? The woman on the moon in travail, bringing forth a man-child. And we dropped in a thought this morning concerning the pyramid and the steps of virtues. Now, I might highlight a few thoughts on it. I might not. It depends on the anointing and the way the Spirit moves tonight. All right, now, looking at this, here we are. The woman on the moon in travail with a child. I liken that, and I say this for some that some's benefit that might not have been here this morning to give them a little brief on it. This woman with her feet on the moon, I likened her to America, because America is considered a woman's nation, I also liken her to Israel, of which the Lord was speaking in the revelation of John. And then I brought her to the spiritual perspective, which was the church. Now, I take my time and say this because I feel one trying to catch on over here, one trying to catch on over here, and it's like a man in a boat. One's drowned in here and one's drowned in there, and he just slows down a little to pick this one up, and he speeds up to get to the other, and he slows down. And so then the woman with her feet on the moon, why was she in travail in Revelation 12 to bring forth a man child? The reason is because the church ages was at last fulfilled. All right, now, I'm going to drop in some thoughts tonight, and I hope you'll hold on if I go into it, because if you start wrestling with me instead of just believing what I'm saying, then it slows me down. Because every time a question arises in your mind and I pick it up, then I have to stop to answer that question. So then the woman here, which is the woman with her feet on the moon, we explained the stars this morning. We explained the Holy Ghost, which was the illumination. The stars, which was the apostolic teachings. We explained the moon, which was the law and the prophets upon which Israel was founded. Isn't that right? All right. Now then, we explained also how that this woman, being in travail at the end of the church ages, had to do with Calvary. The travail started at Calvary and lasted to the end of the church ages. You follow me? See, the formation of the child was from the time of Adam in the indoctrination, back over there when God brought it down to the law. And then when the seed of the law came, then the woman went on down to Calvary, and then at Calvary came the travail. And John saw her in great travail, and the travail started at Calvary and lasted over the church ages. The reason I said it started at Calvary is because I remind you again, the travail of the woman is the headship. That's the only travail that she goes through, is the headship. Then after that, the physicians must work with the child to bring forth the child, which means at Calvary, the woman, which is the flesh, Jesus, that part, which is the flesh, travailed to bring forth the Christ. And Paul reminded us, he said, I travail again until Christ be formed within you. All right, that means in our outer body, we represent Jesus in the travail, the membership of Jesus and Him being the head. In our spirit, we represent the Christ, which is the man-child, spiritual members of the Christ. Now, so then God has two people to show this in the earth. Though we represent it as like a Siamese twin or something in our spirit and body, yet God shows it as two different people. One of them is Israel, which represents our body, which is dead and buried out of the sight of God because of Calvary and because of sin. Israel was the scapegoat that represented our body to find the wrath and to find the displeasure of God for sin. Jesus being the head of that scapegoat, He was made sin to show the goat part. Though He knew no sin, He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. So then Jesus and the body, which was the membership of Israel, died out of the presence of God, that the spiritual person who is represented by the Christ, the Spirit inwardly, that the spiritual person which is called the spiritual Jew, who, that's you and I, then this Christ represented that, and we as a natural people, and yet not a natural people, but a spiritual people, for he that is born of the Spirit is spirit. While the Jew is considered natural, we represent the inward man, and they represent the outward man. Now you follow me this far. Great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries of godliness. Now, if I was preaching, I would be preaching to sinners. But when I am teaching, Paul said, a preacher and a teacher, then I am teaching you the mysteries that you may be translated, that you may redeem your body. All right, now, inasmuch as from Calvary the woman is dead, and yet she's not dead, Jesus said, Lazarus sleepeth, yet it is considered death. And as long as Israel is dead, your body will not be redeemed. Because Israel represents your body. It will not be redeemed. Not that it isn't already redeemed, for it is redeemed by Calvary. But it means the knowledge to wit the redemption of your body will not be given until the finishing of the mysteries, which is the thunders. This is why we refer you back to the middle of the year from 70 to 77 on the resurrectional morning of April, when we preached the thunders after having a night vision concerning the thunders. We came and ministered the thunders, and that same day Brother Charlie Elliott brought in from Atlanta, Georgia, of the Jewish embassy or whatever it is there, he brought in the flag of the Jews, and you know that Brother Charlie has to do with that. All right, now, Brother Grady and Benjamin Heltet, you can see it on the little track called The Faith. Benjamin, the tribes of Israel coming in. So then, we see that the travail is the headship of the woman. And after the headship is born, then Israel goes into a state of sleep. For after the travail of the woman, she all of a sudden gives away in a laxity. She begins to go into a state of relaxation. And then from there, it's up to the physicians. If the headship of the man-child is Jesus that has broke from the bowels of the earth or from the dust of the physical earth, whereas it was here, if it is broke through as the Christ, the spiritual part of it, then the headship is broke through the spheres of the matrix, which goes up to God, inasmuch as in the Old Testament we are taught that every firstborn that opened the matrix shall be called holy unto God. The headship is broke through. From that time, the angelic forces that are made ministering spirits to them that are heirs of salvation begin to work with the headship to bring forth the rest of the body from the matrix and from the womb. In this, the physicians are considered the ministry. For it was said to Jesus, heal thyself, physician. He said, surely this proverb shall be spoken unto me. All right, now, he meant by that, they would say, if you be the Christ, come down. Save yourself. Now, we saw the proverb fulfilled at Calvary. But here's the headship going up to the throne into the presence of God. Now, that was the capstone taken away from the earthly pyramid. There is the spiritual pyramid, which is the spirits of humanity coming together from the east, the north, the south, and the west, which is the four corners, coming up to head up into the Christ, which is the capstone of that spiritual pyramid. There is also a natural pyramid, which is the natural people of the world coming from the east and coming from the west, which will head up into the natural Jesus. You follow me? All right, now, in that will make them head up in the Jews, which is the head of the pyramid, or the nations. But Jesus, being a spiritual thing, when he comes back, then he and his spiritual membership will be the head of the head. Israel, the head of the nations, but we will be the head of Israel. You follow me? All right, we will be in a spiritual dimension. Now, the woman goes into a state of sleep because the child is already broke through. The headship is already in heaven. The angelic forces with the ministry begins to work with her down through the church ages. Whereas she is in a lax condition, and the parable is given concerning the sleeping virgins and the wise virgins, likening the wise virgins unto the spirit man, which is the all of God, and the foolish virgins unto the Jews, which is gone to sleep at Calvary because they have not the spirit, having rejected Jesus. All right, now, but notice they all were virgins. And the Bible said it, the midnight cry, which has to do with Revelation 12, the middle of Daniel's week. At that time there was a cry given, and it says that they went forth to get the oil. You follow me? Somebody would say, surely, Brother Pike, there would be no oil during the tribulation period. But if you'll notice, shortly after Revelation 12, it said the angel flies to the heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that are on the earth. That was the cry that went forth, saying, hurt not anything on the earth or anywhere. As the four angels standing on the four corners of the earth held back the four winds, saying, hurt them not till we seal the servants of our God in their foreheads. Alright, the Jews getting their seal means the name Jesus in their understanding, because they have never accepted Jesus as the seal of their mind. They've never accepted the mind of Christ. Therefore, before these four winds can come forth, then the seal comes into the head. Alright, going back to Daniel, Daniel saw the vision of the four winds wrestling over the waters. John tells us that the waters is the great body of people out of which the beast comes. Inasmuch as the beast is considered the flesh, those which are not born of the Spirit. Then he tells us, after explaining to us that the waters was humanity, he then speaks to us concerning the four corners of the earth. Daniel said, I saw the four winds of the earth wrestling over the waters. Now, those waters being people, massive humanity, the four winds, Paul said winds of doctrine, the four winds being doctrines, sometimes our term is the four C's. I've got this somewhere on tape, which is capitalism, communism, Christianism, and Catholicism. The four winds wrestling over the waters, the east, the west, the north, and the south. And I love to think of it like this, that capitalism is a wind of doctrine coming from the western world. Christianism is a wind of doctrine that's coming from the eastern world, in that Jesus said that salvation is of the Jews. Then when I look into the northern part of it, coming from the northern part of it, I see a communistic policy coming from Russia through the north. And then when I think of Catholicism, I look to the south and I see working through Mexico and coming up through there, I see the powers of Catholicism working among the poor. These four doctrines was wrestling over the waters as great powers of empires to take control. But the days of Daniel, when he saw it, he did not understand it. And I could not understand it myself today if it was not the time of the end. For he said to Daniel, seal up the matter until the time of the end. But when he gave it to John, he said, see that you seal it not, for the time is at hand. Now, a seal is a spirit. It means that Daniel saw it, but it was sealed up in Daniel's spirit. Alright, now, when John saw the thunders, they were sealed up in John's spirit. A lot that we could say about that, and maybe sometimes we will. Some of the things we've got written in the thunders and the book comes out. Alright, you can see the four winds over here. He's got them listed here. The war in heaven, the end of the church ages, Brother Leon Wilson and Brother Reuben Brookshire, he's got this thing listed. He's got heaven up here, and the one thing he hasn't got yet is the red dragon was cast out into the earth. All right, now that goes down into the first one. That makes it kind of hard. All right, have you follow me? Following me? All right, now I can feel your spirit staying with me tonight. I hope you continue to do that. Give the more in his teeth. So then we see again that the woman is up here. Now, let's talk about it for just a minute. The woman being on the moon, which is the flesh. The travail starting at Calvary. the headship going up. Now I said again, the headship is always represented as the male part. Isn't that right? That nothing is charged against the woman if the male says no according to the law. Is that right? If the woman makes a mistake and the male says no, it's not charged to her. Is that right? The woman in the transgression, but the male is not in the transgression. Is that right? Now why is that? Because the male is in the image of God. You follow me? The woman is in the image of the church. And the church is the one that makes the mistakes. But the man is always the one that pays for the mistakes. By law, you can hold the male accountable for the woman's debt, but you try holding the woman accountable for the male's debt. It won't work. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So then, it is understood that the headship is caught up. Now, I have to take my time on this, because if I get to going just a little bit fast and saying too much, I begin to lose some of you. So I have to kind of drag along, you know, and that way the Spirit has time to quicken it to you. Okay, now watch. The headship going up, leaving the membership of his body, which is the woman. The man going up, that is. Leaving the membership, which is the woman, right? All right, the woman goes to the church ages. Who is the woman? The woman in the natural is Israel, that's in the darkness, gone to sleep because the headship travail part is over. The physicians, which is the ministers, shown by the seven angelic soundings of the messengers down through the church ages, they begin to work with the child to bring him forward. Somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, you don't mean to tell me that from the time of Calvary all the way down through the church ages that there hasn't been but seven men that preached to bring forth these mysteries? No, I don't mean that. What I mean is everything must have a typical headship. It starts with the breaking forth of a certain portion. You understand what I'm saying? One church age and an angelic messenger steps forth, because a message has to start with somebody. Isn't that right? Now think it out just for a minute. You think that the Lord will just, maybe there's 50 men sitting out here and all of them preachers, and all of a sudden God says to the whole 50, here it is. So then somebody said, now if you've got it tonight, come and preach to us, and 50 men start up here. See, God's not the author of confusion, is he? God gives it into one individual, and then that is an angelic messenger. He has nothing to do with it. Like they use the term that Brother Branham is the angel. That goes back to the word messenger, which means angel. But actually, the angel goes back to the seven spirits of God. In heaven, we are as angels. When we are born again, we are as angels. That is, our inner spirit has been translated into the kingdom of God, and it is as an angel. And God can use it as an angel. You follow me on that now? So the original word shows that it is an angel. Now you staying with me? This is proven by the book of Revelation, when we find in the book of Revelation that some angel came forth to reveal some things to John. When he came to reveal them to John, John fell down at his feet and was going to worship him. He said, see that thou do it not, John, just because I'm an angel, and I'll put it into words that you can understand, just because I'm an angel, that does not mean that I am not one of your brethren. I am one of your brethren, the prophet. In other words, I am a prophet. The word of God comes to a prophet as an angelic messenger. I couldn't come down on the earth and bring it to you, because that's left in the land of the living. Angels can't come down here and do that. But inasmuch as you have come into my realms, then we can talk on my level. You follow me? Angels are made ministering spirits to them that are heirs of salvation. Now, for instance, look at the shepherds on the hillside. It did not say, and the angel of the Lord came to them, did it? It said, the angel of the Lord came upon them, which means the angelic forces come as a great inspiration, a great light. Just like the light, the sunlight breaks through the clouds and comes over you. not only over you, but they can penetrate through you and give you strength. They minister to you. After Jesus' fast, the angels came and ministered to him. So it said the angel of the Lord came upon them. You follow me? All right. So then we see the headship up in another realm. The seven church ages. Seven angelic messengers. And what is the angelic messenger's job? Going from the headship up, which Jesus himself brought to the disciples. Going from that part up, and they were the headship. The apostolic leaders was the headship that is evident by the crown that's over the woman. You say, but Brother Pike, their names were found in the foundations. That's true, but I said this morning it reverses. Jesus is the beginning and the end. We can't go into that, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. I brought out some this morning. Now then, from the shoulders on down, as the child begins to come forth from the matrix or the vagina, when this begins to happen, then a message breaks forth, and there is a great church age, and messengers begin to preach it. God gives the word, great is the multitude of them that publish it. So there's a great ministry and a move of God, because there has been a certain mystery revealed. What was the mystery? The child from here up to the shoulders. And then when that begins to die down, all of a sudden another messenger comes forth with revelation. Another group of people begins to rise up. Maybe one time it's the Catholics, next time it's the Methodists, next time it's the Baptists, next time it's the Pentecostals. But anyway, as it comes on down, then from here up, there is another part of the child revealed. And then comes the third church age, and another part of the child is revealed. And as he's coming forth from the matrix, the last thing is the days of the 10 toes. When he comes forth in the days of the 10 toes, his little toes coming forth from the matrix, then the child is completely born. Immediately it is caught up to the throne. You follow me? It is immediately caught up to the throne, and the stone is hewed out of the mountain that must hit the 10 toes of the image in the feet. That stone is the headstone, the capstone, returning from Calvary, in that the bodily members are ready. Then he comes back from up here to pick up the bodily members. You see what I'm saying? That is to say, when the woman bore the child, she was in the second heaven. Isn't that right? The second heaven, but the child went up to the third heaven. You follow me? Up to the third heaven with the child. So then the church is in the presence of God in bearing the child. But in that realm, which is, as we said, the second courts, which is the holy place, that is where the woman is. She is in the holy place, which is the second heaven. This is referred to as the intercourt. But the child, which is the high priest alone, the headship, goes into the holy, most holy place. Not the holy place, but the most holy place, which is the inner court. The high priest alone can go into that. All right? So then we see that in the second realm is the woman. Satan can come that far because he is considered the red dragon. And at the time of the offering in the Old Testament, the priest would catch the blood, and the sons of the priest, which goes back to the preachers, the membership of the body, Satan could come with the sons of the priest. Now, why was that? Because when the sons of God come to present themselves, Satan come also. There is grace that will reach under the second courts. And the blood having to do with the red dragon, then it can come to the second courts. That means Satan, the red dragon, the blood, can come that far. But when that blood is taken and put upon the altar of the little golden altar of incense, then that special perfume that Aaron had that was mixed, and they said that if anybody else mixed it up, they would die. That special perfume with that little bit of blood that is placed there at the golden altar, when he enters into this realm, it becomes a vaporized thing and a spiritual thing. He goes into the presence of God with his little bales on, which is the musical things, his pomegranates. Because if you notice back in the Old Testament, pomegranates went along with childbearing. So then he goes into this. As he enters into it, he mixes this perfume with the fire, the coals of fire that he took with the fire tongues off of the altar. Now on the day of Pentecost, the tongues came as coals of fire. Is that right? They used fire tongues to pick up the fire with. As it came to this point, when that fire was mixed with that perfume, it vaporized and it brought about the cloud part of it. You follow me? And it was a vapor that was an illumination of sweet smell with music from the little bells mixed in with it. And it was a jubilant sound that they made to go into the presence of God. When they got in there, this vapor stood between Aaron and between the God of heaven, which indicated the Spirit of Christ, which was his protection. As this beautiful, sweet-smelling vapor come up before God, indicating the release of the Spirit from the blood. The body was taken and burned outside of the gates. So then the outer courts for the body, the inner courts here for the soul, which is the blood, and the most holy place for the spirit, which had to do with the perfume and the vapor. You follow me now? All right, man is all three of that in his physical parts. So we see then here the woman, it goes all the way through the church ages. At the end of the church ages, then it is the completion of the birth. Now, what does the completion of the birth mean? We have been the spiritual sons of God all the way down through the church ages. What does the completion of the birth mean? It means the time of adoption. Though you're already the sons of God, yet it does not appear. That is, your appearance is not here as his image. But at the end of the church ages, we shall see him coming in his clouds of glory. To us, that is spiritual clouds of witnesses, coming in his spiritual glory. But to Israel, that is a natural cloud coming in a natural glory as they would see it. All right, now, their inheritance is the earth. But we are considered to have an inheritance of the Spirit. Now you follow me? Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. He represented the head of Israel, and the meek shall inherit the earth. So then we see at the end of the church ages, the catching up of the man child really means the manifestation of the sons of God or the image coming forth. That means that the birth of the child is completed, for out of the matrix comes the last bit. That brings in the Jew at that hour, which is the redemption of the body. Paul having the same revelation, that's how that he could say, if the casting away of the Jews be the opportunity of the Gentiles, or if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the Gentiles, then the receiving of the Jews at the end of the church ages will be resurrection from the dead, which means the redemption of the body. He follow me? The dissecting at Calvary put the Jews on one side in the BC. It put the other on the other side, the spiritual body that is, in the AD. So then it was the dividing asunder, the rending of the veil. It is what we call the differentiation between the Lord and the Christ. Jesus was the Lord. And the Bible said, Peter speaking, he hath made in himself twain, both Lord and Christ. But at the separation of the Lord and Christ, which is the rending of the veil, for the veil was rent in twain, the Christ came out of the Lord. You follow me? Jesus always said, it is not me that doeth the work, but it is the Christ within, the Father, that doeth the work. So he made in himself both Lord and Christ. And at the rending of the veil, he came out of the Lord. And thus, the veil was rent in twain, out stepped the Christ. You follow me? All right. So then, when he stepped out of the body died. You know how that we teach it? The body represented the Jew that went into the grave. The soul part, which was the blood, represented the Catholic nation, which went into hell For the Bible said God suffered not the soul of His Holy One to remain in hell nor to see corruption. See what I mean? The body didn't see corruption because He picked it up before the 3 days was up, so to speak. And the soul did not remain in hell. His soul went there so my soul would not have to go to hell to pay the price of the suffering. And His spirit, representing the church, the Protestant age, they come into the land of milk and honey, which was in the presence of God. You see what I mean? The spiritual infilling of the precious Holy Ghost of God. That is a heaven. All right, that was at the dissecting, but the coming back together, the confederation of churches, means again that they will come together. That means the Protestant, which is the spirit, will go back into the soul, which is the life of the soul, the Catholic. And then the soul will go back into the body, which is the life of the body, the Jew. And so the body, soul, and spirit will come together. It will show the resurrection of humanity as this projected the death of humanity. As these things come together, it means the redemption of our body as individual people. So then, all of this coming together shows us the resurrection of Christ and is following, as this shows the death here. Now, from Calvary the grace is given. To Israel, it is given a grace in that she is cut off in ignorance. And Paul said that is God's mercy till the fullness of the Gentiles, for He cannot require of her that which she does not know. To know to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Then we see the church is given mercy also down through that period of time. Now there's just so much that we could talk about there that we'd have to write a book on it. But I'm going to try to move on a little further to bring out the thoughts that I want to bring out. Notice this now. Here as we consider the headship, what is the significance of the headship to the church ages? All right, now let's look at the life of Samson for just a few minutes. How many of you know that Samson had 7 locks on his head? Those 7 locks was taken off by the woman, which was Delilah, and Delilah was the world. Isn't that right? So then Samson had to go down to the heart of the earth, so to speak, to grind at the mill. That was Jesus that had to be made sin, the woman, the world. Coming down into the heart of the earth. During that time, the locks was to grow back. Why did Samson lose his locks? Because he gave his secret. Isn't that right? As long as he did not give his secret, he did not lose his locks. But the day he revealed his secrets, then he lost his locks. Wasn't that exactly what Jesus did to the church? He gave his mysteries and secret to the church that they might be one with him, but the flesh took advantage. For when the kingdom of God come into the world, the flesh taketh the kingdom of God by force. And in so doing, they took it and received grace while he received death to grind at the mill for them. The coming forth of the resurrection in the Samson's line was when he pulled down the 2 pillars typifying Boaz and Jacob. Jacob and Boaz, which Solomon had supporting the temple, which represented Moses and Elijah that appeared on the mountain with him, which is law and grace, the powers that holds up the world. He wrapped his arms around them in his resurrection and pulled them both down and said, "The government shall be upon my shoulders." You follow me? The body of Christ. The 7 locks here having to do with the 7 church ages. 7 locks, 7 spirits. Spirits are sealed. Locks are like you have a lock on a trunk. 7 locks. God gave to Peter the keys to the kingdom to unlock these 7 locks through the church ages, and the mysteries of the church ages was unlocked. You follow me? Alright, there were 7 thunders heard when the mysteries was unlocked and finished. And each time as they first came forth in a church age, a seal to be loose, the Bible said it thundered. Is that right? Alright, in this, Samson being the man child, here we see the death and the resurrection. We see the thing in the power of Samson, which was the man-child that slew the lion, in that Satan is likened to the lion. He slew the lion, which brings us to the flesh, and out of the carcass he got the honey. Because the Bible said we have this heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. So the honey is on the inside of the carcass, which he killed as he hung here at Calvary. He wrestled with beasts, Paul said. He conquered Satan here at Calvary. And when he did, our body is reckoned to be dead by the body of Jesus. And the honey is made by the angelic bees on the inside of the hive. And the queen bee goes back to the church in here. All right. In this, we see the riddle that he put forth and how that they could not understand the mysteries of God. Though they threatened, they could not understand. In this, we see coming down through the church ages, as quick as this child is born and is caught up to the throne, and I express this by saying that he was caught up riding over the tribulation period to sit down upon the throne in the millennium as the son of David. But in this, the woman of Revelation 12, remember, it does not say that she was cast out into the earth. It just said the child was caught up into the third heaven. She remained where she was, but she went into a wilderness, which was the intellectual sleep. That was Israel, wandering the church in the wilderness. While we're in the mind of Christ, which is Canaan. The red dragon was cast out into the earth, which means that at the Revelation 12, the middle of Daniel's week, at last, when the child went up into the third heaven, then the red dragon was exposed. Blood life had no more power. And the red dragon, which was the spirit of Satan, had to take on a personification because he could not hide in the realms of the spirit anymore. How did he get into those realms to start with? I've explained it before. The way he got in was through grace. Satan living in the heart of mankind, because God had given grace to man, then the image of Satan, which is those that reject God, Satan could live in their bloodstream. That made him the red dragon all the way from the days of Adam. Isn't that right? You follow me? All right, that's how that he could be in the presence of grace. And grace is the second heaven. Whoever's got grace is in the second heaven. The woman is in the second heaven. The rim of grace coming from Calvary. The first court, as I said, was beyond Calvary, which was the law. The law also was a heaven, but that was an earthly rule. Grace was the second heaven, and righteousness is the third heaven. So then, we've got the Old Testament for the outer courts, which is the law, the water rim. We got the New Testament, we call it, we got that as grace, which is the blood rim where Satan gets in, right there in the blood rim. You follow me? That is the blood rim. We got the third, which is the angelic, which is the spiritual rim. That Satan cannot get into the spirit. Your spirit is sealed. But he can probe at you in the physical realms, which is the human anatomy, through your human senses. You follow me in that? All right. So then we see here one realm here that is represented as water, the days of Noah, the covering of the natural earth and the baptism of the body. The second realm we see is the blood covering, which is the blood of Jesus Christ covering the physical world, all of them by grace. And then we see the third realm here, which is the angelic pouring out of Pentecost, which is manifested in the end time and previewed at Pentecost, poured out on all flesh, which is the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, the baptism of water, the baptism of fire, and baptism of the Spirit. Follow me in that now. All right. Said, and he shall baptize you with what? With the Holy Ghost and with fire. Is that right? We could elaborate on that little. Paul spoke of the doctrine of baptism. But man baptizes you with water. Isn't that right? John shall baptize you with water. That's the remission of sins. Now, if we look just a little bit closer, we can see here that the woman remained where she was. The dragon had sat there, which indicates red communist China, waiting as the woman America is in travail with a foot on the moon until she brings forth the man child having to do with Carter. They called him JC, you know, and said he was the Savior, bringing forth the supreme ruler in all of these times. But soon, red communism will be overthrown. It will be overthrown because the true man child is coming in. Now, it would take me a long time to go into these three parts and break them down to show you what I mean, but I'm trying to establish the thoughts in your mind that if we preach sporadically later, you will understand what I am saying. So then, at this time, now listen real good. I'll try not to take too long here, just give me just a little bit more time. I just want to clarify a thought or two. Revelation 12, now we can really see something in this if we look real good. After the birth of the child, what happens? In the Old Testament, if it is a man child, then there are 7 days of purification and cleansing before the woman can return to the husband. Isn't that right? So if the birth starts at Calvary, the spiritual restoration, the church going up first, it goes from Calvary down to the end of the church ages. She's gone through 7 stages. She can return to her husband. Israel coming back in at the end of the church age, which shows the completion of her, of the birth as far as the natural travail, goes through the 7 days of Daniel, which brings also her purification. You follow me now? All right, now, this is in the middle of the week when you see the man-child caught up. But actually, the last week of Daniel brings the Jew back in here. So with this, the child going up before the tribulation period leaves 7 days of purification. You say, but Brother Pike, that's 7 years. And the law said 7 days. But Daniel, God said, I've given you a day for a year, Daniel. So it was Daniel's last week, which was really 7 days. You follow me? All right. It was said, let 7 times pass over the tree that John cut down at Calvary, which was the Jew. Let 7 times pass over it, then let it grow again. Is that right? After the 7 church ages, or after the 7 days of the tribulation, then it was to come back up, the great kingdom that was back there. You follow me? It was to come back up, which brings in the millennium. After the tribulation period, then the Jew, which was cut down, comes up again, in that Nebuchadnezzar was called the servant of God. That really is a beautiful picture, because that is a typical thing, in that when the Jews came out of Babylon, they went and built back the walls of Jerusalem. What does that mean? If you notice that it was transferred from Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel was made the third ruler in the kingdom. So then we come back up, it was to have a different kind of ruler. Isn't that right? What was the ruling? Seal it up till the end time, Daniel. Then your vision will be established. Your rule will be established. Your government will be established. So when it come back up, it was to be God's Daniel. You follow what I'm saying now? All right, so God put it in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar when Israel fell, and then God let them get in bad circumstances, and God interpreted the dreams through Daniel and transferred it back over to the children of Israel at the end of the bondage, took them out and built back the walls. That's what I was telling you about the government. God never lets the government fall. He transfers it over from one nation to another. Then when he gets it transferred over, down it goes. Just as quick as Daniel interpreted those dreams of meeny, meeny, tickle, tickle, those things on the wall, just that very time, here come the people that was going to destroy Babylon. In they came, and as quick as they destroyed it, immediately he had made Daniel the third ruler. Then God destroyed it. You remember the Bible back there? See, he made Daniel the third ruler and turned right around, and immediately they came in under the wall and killed him. All right. So then in this, we see the middle of the week. When this happens, from this time on, remember the covenant is broken in the midst of the week. Is that right? Satan has already been working for the first 3.5 years to establish a covenant. He doesn't know it's for 7 days. He doesn't know it's for 7 years. He doesn't know he's going to break it in the midst of the week. That is, Satan doesn't know that there's not but 7 years left when he makes it. He's just making it, but God knows there's 7 years left from the time he makes it. So what causes him to break it is in the middle of the week, this man that's done all of these things through flattery, that came in through flattery, that is headed for the Antichrist, when he does all those things, he comes over to the middle of Daniel's week, and by that time, he's done made himself God, when he makes himself God, then all the nations worship him. And when the Jews see that, it's like it was in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. They won't bow down to the image. Because the Hebrew children, they said certain Jews won't do it. That's the plains of Dura coming back up to change the federal government to make it a worldwide thing. It's the system of the Antichrist. Are you staying with me? All right. Now, like Charlie said, it's later than you think. So then, here you see it. In the middle of the week, suddenly the Jews discover what's going on and they break off with him. When they break off with him, they withdraw from him. Immediately Satan comes out of heaven. The man-child goes up and Satan personifies himself, and then he really makes himself God. Then that's when the covenant is broken. When they see that, that causes the covenant to be broken. When Satan enters into him at the middle of the week, the covenant is broken because they see what he's after. All right. When this happens, the Jews see the church going up and they know that they missed it. They pull away from him. They refuse to take the mark of the beast, which is the number. And Revelation 12, reaching over to Revelation 13, immediately when Satan comes in, he starts consolidating his kingdom through the computerized system of forcing them to take the number, because he knows once they take the number, he'll have no problem out of them, because Satan, that God won't have them after that. So he's got a sure thing. At that time, notice this, when this happens, he gets in a rage because the Jews withdraws from him. What does he do? The Bible said, who can make war with him? Those 10 horns, which is upon his head, and I wish we had time to go into them and break them down. Maybe sometimes we will. Those 10 horns, being 10 kings, will confederate with him and become confederate with him. Not because they want to, because they really hate him and his flesh, which is his army, that 666 thing. They hate him, but God has put in their heart to give their kingdoms to him until God's will is fulfilled. And they shall burn his flesh with fire. The enmity between communism and Catholicism, and America being the power of rule. That is where the bumming is coming in. You follow me? When the 10 withdraws from him, you notice how communism is lined up with America and went with America, knowing it was a Catholic thing and she hate, and communism hates Catholicism. And that's what America is. She's a Catholic nation. Clay and iron won't mix. That's when he starts making himself the supremacy like Jimmy Carter's beginning to do. Then the 10 toes going to be through with him. Then comes the fire to burn his flesh with fire. Comes the bumming. So we see that immediately in Revelation 13, as quick as he starts consolidating his kingdom by forcing his mark, then an angel flies through heaven and saying, woe, woe, woe unto them that take the mark of the beast. They have no rest day nor night, but they shall be tormented in the presence of God and his angels. Then another one flies through heaven saying, he's got the everlasting gospel to preach to them on the earth. Immediately from that time, there is an angel that comes out of heaven and he says, cast in the sickle, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Then comes another angel out. He is commanded to do the same thing, and one comes out with power over fire. Said, cast in thy sickle and reap, for the clusters of the earth are fully ripe. Now, one of them that he casts in to reap means those that will be killed, in that man is likened to a vine. It said it went through the grapevine, you know. So the first reaping is those that are killed who refuses to take the mark as the blood is spilt. That's the blood of the grape. That's the first vintage as the sickle goes in. They refuse to take the mark, so God reaps them from the earth. The second reaping of it is those that take the mark. When he cast his in the sickle, he said their clusters are fully ripe, cut down the vine. That means those that have taken the mark, he takes them and he gathers them, grape, vine and all. And the Bible said he casts them into the winepress of Almighty God, and the winepress is trodden without the city. That is the valley of Jehoshaphat that some of you saw while we were over in Palestine. So then, when he gathers them together, what the gathering of it is that he prepares this Antichrist's heart to confederate as a great army, angry with Israel because she withdraws, and he goes in as a great army against her because the tidings from her out of the east troubles him, in that they keep saying their king is coming, that he is not their king. You follow me? All right. The Bible said he shall stretch forth his hand upon all the land, but these shall escape, even Ammon and Moab and so forth. Where the valley of Petra apparently is, the hiding place, the place for the woman to flee and to hide. For when he can't devour the child, which has to do with the church, then he turns on the woman, which is Israel, the remnant of the seed. All right, but a place is prepared for her where he can't reach her. So then when he confederates to go in against her, then all of a sudden God begins to stir up his wrath. He says, cast in the sickle, drag the vine and everything into the valley outside of the city. And when it comes into the valley, then at that time all of the nations under his leadership gathered against Israel. Then the Lord himself, Revelation 19, shall come back with the saints of God, meet them over in the valley of Jehoshaphat, and you and I and all of the Jews together shall kill the millions and millions and millions and millions of people until the blood runs up to the horse's bridle. And folks, let me tell you, that's going to be some more battle, because that is such a huge valley, you'd be shocked if you saw how big and broad it is and how far it reaches. It's going to take thousands and thousands and millions of people to fill that thing up with blood to the horse's bridle. Now, it might be just the blood of the people. It could be the blood of horses and the slain and everything else. But whatever it is, that is what it's going to be. And God calls this the Great Supper. He invites all the vultures, the fowls of the air, speaking of demon spirits and everything, that feeds off of captains and all. That's why I brought it out the other day, that the vultures are multiplying, I believe, four times as much as they had before. The scientists don't understand it. Something's at hand. I said this would be a severe winter, and it would be a type of the tribulation. They say the worst in 75 years. Trace it back to the days of the early revival of Azusa Street. It will hit just right, and then coming over here, it will pick up at the end of it. That brings in the last revival. So then, in what I'm saying, and I'm just about ready to close now, in what I'm for tonight, what I'm saying is that Israel, there will fight the eastern gates. It's not been opened since Jesus rode in on the donkey Palm Sunday. Those gates have been sealed. They will be open, which indicates the rending of the veil, which is at hand. When that happens, Jesus will come in there on the white horse, and we will come in there on white horses with him. This will be the battle of Armageddon, which is after the tribulation period. I've been asked the question, when is the battle of Armageddon? It is after the tribulation period. That is the battle of Armageddon. At that time, Satan will not be destroyed. The Antichrist and the false prophet will be destroyed by being cast into the lake of fire. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, because that is not the end of the world as you know it, but the end of the world as far as God understands, as the world system, as it was in the days of Noah, the system ended, the world went on. So then it will be the end of the woman's world, America. The system will be over. It will go back to the rule of the man, which is over in the foreign country. So with this, it will be the end of the world. All right, now listen. With the end of the world after the tribulation period, then comes the new world, not the new earth, but the new government come in, the sons of God, the kingdom age. That will be the kingdom age, and it will rise up. There will be a great government. The Jews will be the head of the nation. Christ will be the king, and we will be his cabinet. We will rule. It will be the kingdom age, and they will be under the power and jurisdictional authority of the Son of God. There's a lot that we could say about that, because there's going to be nations still in the millennium. And don't forget this, after 1,000 years, Satan shall be released from his prison to go out into the four quarters of the earth to deceive the nations. Gog and Magog said it will be as the sand of the seashore. We see that in a typical thing at the end of America, in that she is a type of the millennium. And we will see it at the end of the millennium when fire comes down out of heaven and destroys them. That is the spiritual perspective of it. Now, during the spirit of time, don't forget, 1,000 years is about 8 to 10 or 12 lifetimes. During that time, there will be many people born into the world. They will build houses. They will plant. The Jews will be sealed. They will be natural people while we are celestial. And many will be born in the world. And they will have to be judged at the end of the 1,000 years, just like you have been judged. And he will be loosed. He is not destroyed so that God can test them like he did everybody else. Because he's not going to let anybody go into the kingdom of God, which is the new earth, the celestial earth, and then New Jerusalem will come down upon that new earth. That's those celestial stones of whom you are. So then you see, what I'm saying is the battle of Armageddon is immediately after the tribulation period. The woman has gone through a days of purification. Jacob has passed under the rod. This is the end of the tribulation period, which is the battle of Armageddon. Now you follow me in what I'm saying? Satan not destroyed, but the false prophet and the Antichrist having been destroyed, Satan bound 1,000 years, at the end of 1,000 years, loosed a little season to that he might again go out to deceive the nations. During the millennium period, it will not be a willing surrender. It will not be a willing worship. But he will rule with a rod of iron, and all of the nations there will come under the rule of Israel in the time that God judges the nations. He is judging the individuals now. He will judge the nations then, the goat nation and the sheep nation. And in that time, those that have befriended Israel while they were shut out yonder, that God is judging them. God is judging us as individuals, as people shut us out in the spiritual perspective. And so then Israel, being the head of the nations, they will be judged in the millennium. Now you're listening. I'm fixing to close. They will be there. We will be the head. They will be the body, the woman part. We will be the head part, which is the male part. And they will guide the house, being the head of the nation, still the natural, in that Jewish realm. Because Israel is born the child. The membership of the body, which is you and I, Jesus Christ, the man-child. We will be the head. You follow me? He's the head. We're the members. All of us will be the head. She will be the woman, which is the wife, out there as the head of the nation. In the spiritual perspective, it will be Jesus the head and we the membership of his body as the bride. But that which is manifested, as I said, to them will be the head of the nations. All nations will be under the powers and authorities of Israel. Just like America is head today, then that will be a male perspective to the world as the head in that day, because Israel in the natural will be to them not a woman as us to the spirit, but a male to them as the head of the nation, where America has been a woman. That will be a man's world. In this, they will be ruled with a rod of iron. They will not come willingly. But nothing will harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord, because Satan will be bound. You take a man that's fierce. If you just leave him alone, let him have his way and feed him, the devil don't mess with him, you don't cross him, you ain't got any trouble out of him. So Satan will be bound to where he cannot cross them up. And God will force them to come and kneel at our feet. The 12 apostles, being celestial also on thrones, will have to kneel at our feet, showing that he loves us. They will come and kneel before us just like they do before him, because we are gods. We will be celestial. They will be natural. Just like if an angel come right now, you'd fall down at his feet in spite of all you could do. Somebody would say, well, if an angel come by, I wouldn't fall at his feet. There wouldn't be nothing else you could do. Daniel said, when the angel come, I fell as a dead man. My inwards turned into corruption. I couldn't do nothing until he touched me and strengthened me and raised me back up and put me on my feet. So it's not a matter of what you would do. So then this great thing that you see means that they will be constrained to come and worship at our feet, or there will be no rain on their crops. And then at the end of that period, then God will give them a test by turning Satan loose and see who still resents, who's still contrary, who's still working against him. And there will be many, and they will gather themselves as the sands of the seashore. Until that time, the dead has never been resurrected. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, meaning coming up from Calvary with Jesus, which is not manifested till Revelation 19 after the tribulation, called the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death, which means the death of the soul, hath no power. Lazarus sleepeth, which means my body at the first death goes to sleep, because the sting of death, which is the death of the soul, has been taken out. But the second death is the death of the soul cast into the lake of fire at the end of the millennium, when death is conquered. Shortening the days for the elect's sake, we've been translated in the kingdom, bypass death, pass from death unto life here, in that we are sons of God, we're already in heaven. But really the conquering of death to the people is after the millennium, for the wicked dead live not again till the 1,000 years is finished. That is the second resurrection there, where they come up after the millennium. The graves that goes on through the millennium suddenly gives up their dead. The sea gives up its dead, of the sailors and everything. The great white throne of judgment comes forth. The celestial age comes in. All of them, both great and small, stand before God at the judgment. You still with me? All right. So then find a place to close now. We see then that this great thing is for the privilege of the church, and the church only, not of anybody else. And it is 1,000 years before the wicked dead come forth. In the righteous dead, we in the first resurrection shall not exceed them that are dead. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then when we which are alive and remain shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, change from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible, from terrestrial to celestial, then caught up to meet him, so shall we ever be with the Lord. You follow me? All right, well, there's a lot more that we could say, but I believe that that is enough for tonight. You've stayed with me pretty good, and I feel like that's enough. I done held you a long time as it is. But I hope that this is clear to some of you. And if it isn't clear, I hope that it is clear on the tape, that you can relate back to it and understand better what we're saying. And we've got many hundreds of tapes where we taught the revelation of Jesus Christ to try to bring you the understanding of the unveiled mystery, as the message was that our sister tied the veil taken away. In bringing this, this is to change the church. Change the church into his glorious image, because it's going to take holiness to redeem the body. You're already the sons of God, but at the end of the church ages, the body's redeemed, which is the adoption. Paul said, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body, sealed in the Spirit until the day of the redemption or adoption. So then, that is, we are coming now to the adoption. That means the mysteries of God being finished, and which means Joseph revealing himself to his brethren, in that down in Egypt, and you know that America is Egypt, how many of you know that? The Egyptian thing of Egypt, how many of you know that America is Egypt, the civilization comes from Egypt, education, that kind of thing. So then the day that Joseph shuts the Egyptians out, that's when the Jews come in, which is his brothers representing the church. When they come in, then when his brothers, the Jews, come in, which is the redemption of the body, Joseph, which is the Christ in our heart, already down here in Egypt, done got him an Egyptian bride, because the Jews is not the bride. He gets that out of Egypt among the Gentiles. Already having his bride, he's already married to a priest's daughter down there. He's already got the bride sealed in when the Jews come in. How do you know that? So then the bride must be sealed in, because it's time for the Jews to start coming in. That means the bride has been sealed in. There has to be something that's been sealed in with, that is the marriage. So then the marriage is already over when the Jew comes in. That's why I have a little difference on the way they teach the marriage supper. But I believe that you understand what I'm saying, and I believe you know that the days of the Egyptians is just about over. And you know the days of Joseph, the 7 years of famine brings in the tribulation period. Isn't that right? When everybody will surrender to Christ. During that time, it shows both Christ and Antichrist. And in that time, there's been a time of plenty, and then a time of tribulation is coming, and there'll be a time of travail. And only those that are under the regime of Joseph, his brothers, they had plenty in that time. They didn't have to sell what they had. They didn't have to give anything. They were in the land of Goshen. That is sealed in, a separation. But the others had to surrender to Joseph. Isn't that right? Because of the hard travail. But his brothers was leaders and rulers and head of the nation during that time. You follow me on that? So then when that was over, then came the time of plenty, which is the millennium, coming back in, the restoration of all things. And Jesus is Joseph sitting on the throne, being the great power, only one above him, and that is God the Great Spirit. And when the 1,000 years is finished, then the Bible said the Son himself shall become subject to the Great Spirit. That is, the flesh won't rule anymore. It'll be the same Jesus, the Christ side of it ruling, turning it back over to the celestial when the Ancient of Days come forth. All right, let's stand together. There is a lot of questions that are in our minds. And I know that you've had a lot of questions. I hope this has answered some of them. And I know that there's yet a lot of questions in your mind and heart that can be answered. And I'll do my best, to the best of my ability and what the Lord allows me to know, to try to answer them as the anointing of the Lord comes to share things with us. But I trust that you will remember one thing, that if you come into the knowledge of these things, then you are made the head of the nation. Because the world doesn't know these things. It is not given unto them to know the mysteries of God. If they know the mysteries of God, then they would be translated. It is only given to the church to know the mysteries. He cut out the Egyptians. He cut out the Egyptians and made it known to his brethren. The time when he revealed the nails and they began to cry. And they said, "Where did you get these?" And they realized that they had betrayed Joseph. And they begin to weep as they realize they had betrayed him. That's what the Jews will do. Joseph cast into the pit just like Jesus was. Accused of sin with the woman when he was not guilty, for he knew no sin. He had been faithful. Let's sing a little chorus together. I sang the chorus, "The light of the glory of his unveiled face." Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. Of his unveiled face. Of his unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. Oh, yes, it's changing me. Changing me, changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. Do you feel any different? Do you feel that you have changed from the old you to the way that you did think and what you did believe? Do you feel there's been a change? Is it really changing you from glory to glory? Is it changing you? All right, if it is, let's sing this little chorus together. Oh, let thy will be done, Lord.